Broadcasting live, high atop the Nashville Sports Radio Broadcasting Complex. Time now for the Millennial Sports Morning.
Millennials, who are they? What do they want?
With your host, Zach Williams. Get into the Millennial Sports Mornings now. 615-844-5600. Follow WNSR on Facebook and Twitter for the live stream.
Humans are disgusting.
Millennial Sports Mornings is brought to you by Slim Chickens, with locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Now, here's your host, Zach Williams.
A gloomy Saturday here in the Music City, but don't you worry, don't you fret. We are going to make it right for you here on Nashville Sports Radio. It is time for Millennial Sports Mornings. I am Zach Williams. Behind the board, we have Ray Dosky joining us as always. Bobby fill-in, Bobby part-time, Bobby Stevens with us. It's a good day. It's a good day. Even when it's rainy, even when it's gross outside, you got to have that, you know, it's all going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. The storms, didn't realize it stormed at all last night, but it did. And you can see it because it looks terrible outside, but it is what it is. Another week of sports, another week of fun in the sun. And look, 615-844-5600. That's the number you got to call in if you want to get in on the action. But past that, we also have the video feed going today, baby. Got a new camera. Hopefully it's all looking good right now. Still trying to work out the kinks for it, but it's happening. You can go to Nash Sports Radio on the Facebook Live. You can also go on Twitter. We'll have it there as well, and you'll be able to see the video. Comment any questions, anything you have on there. First off, how are we doing today, Ray? How are you feeling, man? You live over there?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, yeah. Man. The wife's out of town for the weekend. Okay. So, you know, it's cool. She handles a lot of stuff around the house, though. Like, I'm not saying I'm like, you know, I'm not useless or anything.
No.
I mean, I'm not useless. But we've got two cats, man. And she wakes up early. Like, we've talked about it. I'm not an early bird. I wake up, you know, eight, whatever. She's up 5:30, 6 o'clock, up with the cats. Like, and that's when they get fed. She's not here. What do? They look at the big idiot over here and say, hey, man, you need to get up and feed us. So I've been up since like 6:30 on a Saturday.
So you get in there when you got to, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't feel as good to me, you know? It just doesn't feel, I don't feel good. And then you wake up, it's all gray and everything. And the other thing is like, because I know I'm going to do the show and everything, you know, you got somewhere to be, whether it's whatever you're doing, you know, whatever job you got to go do.
Right, right.
You're like, I just might as well stay up now. You know, like what am I going to go to sleep for? What's the point?
It's always hard for me to go back to sleep, especially if you wake up that early. I'm like, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm just going to crash early tonight.
I know. And then it's Saturday night. There's the UFC card. Like, I'm going to want to stay up and at least see Holland fight. So I'm going to feel gross, though. I know I am. I'm going to be sitting there with like a drink in my hand, just dazing off on the couch alone in the house.
I'm feeling an afternoon nap coming.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Probably going to happen. Vandy baseball on for later. I haven't seen any changes on that. They're 1-1. They got a rubber match today with Georgia, which is kind of surprising that Georgia's kind of kept it more of a closer series. Bobby, fill in. Bobby, part-time. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. It's Masters week. You know, we got all kinds of sports to watch this weekend. It's a good weekend.
I'm going to lean on you for the Masters stuff because your boy doesn't really pay attention until Sunday. And am I alone in that?
No.
No, I'm with you.
It's kind of like, you know, it's fun. It's like the early games of March Madness. You're like, I want the upset. Like, that's what you're looking for. Then you really start paying attention once the teams are in that you know are going to be, you know, tough and actually play and fun to watch, which normally wasn't the same this year. Normally it's like that, but it wasn't really like that this year. But the early days, I don't really care about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not a big golf guy. You're a huge golf guy. But I can't get into the early days.
Well, like, another thing like you'd be surprised about is like the fact that like Tiger Woods isn't playing. Some people literally don't turn on the TV to watch golf unless Tiger Woods is playing. And that's crazy. Like, the amount of power he has to pull people in like that is insane.
Yeah, he is
polarizing icon. And that's what was weird for me. It was just like, it feels like the Masters is kind of off because he's not in it.
I mean, but is that, like, does that give room for someone else to grow, or you know, like, what does somebody have to do to get to that level? You know, like, I watched that Tiger documentary on HBO. Mm-hmm. Insane, by the way. Also crazy because Tiger's not in it. None of his family's in it. It's just like his circle. And you feel bad that, like, you know, Tiger's watched it.
Yeah.
Like, he's had to have, and it was huge. But you feel bad because you're like, they're telling his intimate secrets, like, intimate, and, like, apologizing to the camera because, oh, I know you're not going to like this. Anyway, I'm going to say it because there's a boatload of cash in front of me.
Exactly.
It's just like, oh, God, I feel so bad for it. But watching that, and you see him, like, he didn't exactly do anything different other than just be a dominant winner, right? But, like, we have other dominant winners out there who aren't as polarizing. Like, we're still all going to watch football the day Tom Brady retires, right? Like, he's the dominant winner in football. We all still watch basketball after the dominant winner of Michael Jordan retired. When LeBron retires, we're still going to watch the game. But golf, like you said, Ray, it's like they're just nobody cares outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, hold on. That was way too broad of a brush. People obviously care, but nobody is paying attention. The casual fan isn't paying attention just because one guy's not in it.
Yeah, it just feels off. And I hope he has a speedy recovery. And, you know, because that was a horrible wreck. But, like, let me ask you guys this. Do you ever see Tiger winning another tournament? I mean, he's what, 36 now?
No, he's...
I mean, 46 now?
46.
Yeah, he's 46 now. Right, no, sorry.
That's crazy. 46 years old.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're talking about, what, 2 years for rehab because of the injuries he sustained from the accident? Do you guys see him winning another...
I mean, after this, I don't see him winning another PGA golf tournament. But once he hits 50, I can see him joining the Champions Tour and doing good out there because, you know, they have the old man's tournaments.
But can't the question be bigger than to, are we going to see Tiger Woods play professional golf?
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like that's really the first milestone of coming off this wreck, coming off what he did. And are we going to see him walk? Are we going to see him be able to run? Are we going to see him work out? Are we going to see him play? I wonder if that gets the bigger thing. The story that came out earlier this week, it's so annoying. I mean, I get Tiger Woods, like we're talking about, he's a polarizing figure. But the story that comes out, and everybody needs just that little extra juice in a story and that little extra drama. Mm-hmm. But they talk about Tiger Woods doesn't even remember being in, he thinks he's in Florida and doesn't even remember the wreck at all right after the moments talking to the sheriff deputy. It's like, yeah, what the hell? The guy just has bones sticking out of his legs and flipped his car like 4 times. Can we give him a little bit of grace in the idea that maybe he's not going to remember that exact moment right then? That was like crazy to me that became like breaking news. I saw that come out and I was like, why are we even talking about this? What's he got to do? The guy just wrecked and you're asking him questions and he's like, yeah, he doesn't even know where he is. Yeah, he just got out of the car.
Yeah.
Like, can you give him a breath? Can you give him a day or two? Maybe we'll it's weird though. We haven't really seen much of an update at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of faded out.
Yeah, it has been faded out and it's just lost for words. I mean, like, I guess from the notes from the report was the fact that he was rushing to go to a meeting that morning. Going what,
right,
you know, and I think when he hit the head on collision that he had was a 70 plus miles or something like that, where I guess where he ran into, you know, when the accident happened. I mean, of course you're not gonna remember. I mean, he literally got knocked out.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't, you know, ask UFC fighters when they get knocked out. I'm like, oh, I didn't know what happened.
I didn't even see the punch. I didn't see the punch coming. It. Yeah,
you know, it's just like, come on now, you know. So,
well, I talked about this yesterday a little bit, but I wonder, because he was in a advertising car. Like, he wasn't in his vehicle. He was in,
the Genesis Invitational car.
Yeah, yeah. So, I wonder, like, you go back a few years ago, Derrick Rose, he had his sneaker out at the time on his MVP caliber season, and he blows his knee out, right? Well, that sneaker sale dropped, like, dramatically. It was not, like, people saw that, and they stopped wearing that shoe. Zion Williamson. His year at Duke, he's playing and his shoe explodes. Remember?
Yeah.
Sales for Nike went down dramatically. I wonder if Hyundai Genesis is. I wonder if their sales.
Well, he survived.
He did survive. I wonder if the sales for that car are going to go down at all.
I mean, yeah, it's just like anything else. Like, you know,
the whole crash test safety market's more of a Subaru thing, but
you just wonder if he'd been driving another car, maybe it handles better. You know, something like that. So today on the show, we got a whole plethora of topics we're going to talk about. On top of everything, we always have a question of the day. Today is a pretty simple one. Everybody has an answer to this one. You can call in at 615-844-5600. Or if you're watching on the Facebook Live, you can go on there and comment your answer on that. What is your top three sports movies? Everybody has a favorite, right? But, like, what is the top three favorite movies? Because there's so many. Because you can go from comedy, you can go to real, you can go to, you know, whatever, dramatic ones. But what is the top three sports movies that you, like, when they're on, you're watching? Or when you're in that mood, like Major League Baseball opening day just recently? I want to watch Major League. I want to watch Major League 2. I want to watch those movies.
Are you counting trilogies or no?
We could do trilogies.
Is that one? Or is it like, can that be your all
you
three?
You could say like, I want to, like Major League. Like they have the trilogy on that one.
Can that be your three?
The third one sucks, but you know, you could. Like that could be like your number one. You know, you could do the trilogies or anything. Or you could do the standalones, which is like Radio or Remember the Titans, something like that. But yeah, so top three sports movies. Let's go ahead and answer it just because we're already on it right now. You got to think of yours, Ray?
No, I got mine. I was going to let you go first.
You go ahead. Go ahead.
So I haven't
thought about it. I just know I'm going to ask the question.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a pretty generic one. Like, I go back and forth, but I do like the Rocky series. I mean, I'm just...
See, that, yeah, that's...
I just can't do that, but then also...
But now let's dissect it, right? Like, what's your favorite Rocky?
It goes between 3 and 4, honestly.
Okay, good. Because I heard someone say 5 the other day, and I was
really?
Like,
they love Tommy Morrison?
5 and 1 suck. Like, I get 1 started it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that, but it is, 1 is not that great in the, because it's so story driven. It's not so much fight driven. But 3 and 4, like 3, I lean to 3.
So do I.
Clubber Lang, like you're seeing Rocky at the top, and then he gets dropped, and he's got to, like, you get more of Apollo Creed. You get to learn more about Apollo Creed. They go to the gym in California. I think 3 is probably my favorite. But go ahead. So that's your one of the trilogies.
Of course, and another one. Since I'm a big UFC like mixed martial arts guy, I love Bloodsport.
Bloodsport. It's good for what it is, but I don't think, like, is it really that good of a movie?
Well, you said they're my favorites.
True.
It's going to be a great movie. It was a great movie for me.
Don't be afraid of debate. No, it's your favorite, you should have a debate.
Dude, Bloodsport got me into what I love martial arts. It's like, that's what got me into the love of the sport itself.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder how many people, that's probably true for a lot of people.
You know, it was like that, and it was that and a mixture of Kickboxer.
Oh, Kickboxer?
Yeah.
When I think of MMA movies, I think, like, more modern, I go to Warrior.
Oh, really?
With Tom, man, I can't ever remember that guy's name. Right. He played Bane, though. Right. Whoever played Bane. But yeah, so that's a good one. What's your next one?
So it's Rocky 3 for me, then Bloodsport, mm-hmm. and Any Given Sunday. That's my third one.
Never seen Any Given Sunday.
Are you serious?
Isn't that crazy? I still
you
haven't seen
Willie
it.
You didn't see Willie Beeman?
I'm so deep now. I'm like so deep into I just haven't seen it that it's like I might as well lean in and just not see it.
It's a good movie. it's a good movie. I mean, yeah.
Well, okay, Bobby, what are your three? You had some time to think about it.
My top three. I watched this movie a lot as a kid on, like, road trips and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little biased because I just met him, like, a few weeks ago, but it's going to be The Rookie with Dennis Quaid.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me you just met him. Yeah. That is such an underrated movie.
I watched it so much as a kid growing up on road trips and stuff like that. We had it on VHS, and it was such a good movie.
And I learned something in that. If you're laying out seed and there's a bunch of deer around, then you go put out human hair around the seed, and then the deer will stay away, and then the grass will have a chance to take the seed. So there you go. I swear, I have referenced that part of the movie more than any other part of a movie in my life.
Oh, man.
Okay, so that's one.
Yeah, and then going back to my bias for golf, I think my second one's going to have to be Tin Cup.
Okay.
And then number one's going to be Happy Gilmore. I love
Happy
Gilmore.
I thought you were
going to
go Happy Gilmore.
Go straight golf.
I thought
Happy
was coming. Dude, it's
straight
such a
golf.
Good movie. I love Adam Sandler.
Going to the hole.
Yeah. Man. Okay, top three. I'm going to go with an out-of-the-box one, but it's one we all love, and it's actually got a sequel coming up, coming out this year, and that's Space Jam. LeBron James, don't ruin Space Jam for me. That was like my childhood. Space Jam is like easily one of my favorite movies. I still watch it today. Like, yeah. It's still so good.
The trailer looked really good for it, by the way.
I haven't seen the trailer yet. I try to stay away from trailers.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, I stay away from it, too.
Yeah.
I don't want it to ruin, you know, because sometimes they give away too much info. Like, you're like, okay, well, I see the plot device right there. Like, I know what's going on.
I did that with Star Wars. When Star Wars was coming out,
yeah.
I didn't even bother with the trailers.
Because the new trailer was really bad about doing that, where they give everything away. Let's see. So Space Jam, number one. Number two, man, I really wanted to say Happy Gilmore too, but you already said it, so it's. I'll put the Major League franchise up because that. I mean, even though the third one is absolute gutter trash, one and two are really good. Like, I really like one and two. And then the third one. See, the third one's hard because I want to say one. I'll probably go Coach Carter. Coach Carter is like solid.
Rich what?
Rich Munn. But I appreciate Coach Carter a lot because the guy, actual Coach Carter, real life Coach Carter, he wanted to make the story as true as it possibly was. You go and watch the Remember the Titans. That movie is like almost a fallacy. They talk about like the people that were actually there talk about how that wasn't really how it was. Like, the race relations wasn't as tense as it was shown on the, like, the team was very celebrated by everyone. Also, the games were never close. Go back and look at all the scores. They took all the best athletes from two schools, put them in one school, and then the team went out and won, like, 50-12 every game. Like, they were absolutely dominating. It was never the banana thing that happened on that one. That never happened. Like, there was so much of that movie that was not true. Coach Carter, though, almost all of that is like as it actually happened. So, like, that's why I appreciate that one more, because they're both Disney films, but Disney didn't like step in and say, oh, we need to make it more, you know, dramatic. They tried and he wouldn't let them.
I thought you were gonna say like Blue Chips.
Never seen Blue Chips
with Shaq.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
What's the other one?
Does Kazam work? Is that a sports movie because Shaq's in it?
No, it was Shaq and I want to say Anthony Hardaway was in that. They're talking about when they got recruited to go to a college program and stuff like that. They talked about how that process worked, and you know, it's not like how. Have you seen the program? The movie, The Program.
Oh no, I haven't.
Yeah, it's talked about football and like what goes behind the scenes. It's crazy. I mean, I think it was like in the '90s or eighties when that movie was out.
Is Jerry Maguire considered a sports movie?
It can be.
I think so.
It could be that / drama.
It's like a romantic drama sports movie. That's kind of what it is. I like Jerry Maguire a lot.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, my grandma rented it. We never watched it. I was like 8. My brother was like 13, whatever. And my grandma, just nice old Christian woman. That sex scene starts like right at the beginning of it, and she lost her mind. Every time I think of that.
How old are you when you're watching this? You're like,
I was like 8. I was 8. This, like, I just remember her reaction. Like, I don't even remember the scene. I remember the scene now because I've seen the movie, but because this doesn't really depict anything. It's just more or less like the ambiance, like, you know, it's happening. But
does she look at you?
I remember looking at her and she's like trying to figure out like how to stop it and everything. And like, it doesn't.
And you're like, grandma, it's over. Like, it's
done. Yeah. And it was done past that point, but it didn't matter because like, who knows what could have happened later on. Yeah. She was out the door right then, so we didn't end up finishing
it. She's like, I didn't expect this to happen. So like, she's like, I didn't see this happening.
I don't think I finished that movie until I was like 15. Oh man, that was so funny. I haven't thought about that memory in so long. So give us your top 3 sports movies. Want to hear from you. Just leave them in the comments if you're watching, or you can call in 615-844-5600. We're going to go ahead and hit our first break of the show. We got a whole lot more. We're going to be talking Titans. We're going to be talking the NFL draft process right now, kind of looking more towards that. We're going to be talking UFC and the fight that we have going on tonight and some of the fights that have been announced going forward. We have a large show today. We're having a CDL update. Talk about some Masters. Yeah. Have a Masters update. It's going to be a good show today. Everybody stick around. Before we go into the break, though, you know, we got to talk about our friends over at Slim Chickens. I promise you, if you live in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, Hendersonville, or anywhere around that, you want to go check out my friends over at Slim Chickens. there's always good games on. There's always good TV on. No matter what you're doing when you're watching something, you need to make sure you have good food with you. And Slim Chickens does that for you in spades. Go check out their Chicken Select sandwiches right now. Their Cayenne Ranch sandwich with this Cayenne Ranch. It's more like an aioli on top of it with the ciabatta bun. Oh, my goodness. It is so good. And what you do is you get that, and then you tell them, like, hey, Zach told me to get a mango habanero on the side. You get that on the side, and you put that mango habanero on top of that, under the bun. Don't be a monster. We don't put it on top of the bun. You put it under the bun, smush that together, and I promise you, your taste buds are going to be having a party in your mouth. Go check them out again. Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Download the Slim Chickens app so that way you can skip the line. We're going to go ahead and take a break back after this right here on MSM. Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther. Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of four Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or pulling up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
DW, how you doing,
hey,
my friend?
Hey, Daryl. One thing I think we've learned is how many race fans are in the Nashville market. This is racing territory. For all those people that have sat back and hoped and wished and prayed that the Cup cars would come back, well, they're going to come back to Lebanon, and eventually I think they'll be back at the fairgrounds.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
There you go. I've only hosted a show here for like going on three and a half years now. I should know the phone number. 615-844-5600. Nick on Facebook says, Zach, long time no talk. Nick, buddy, I've been wondering where you were. I hope everything's good, man. I hope everything's good in your life, buddy. I know he's a big fantasy guy, so when fantasy football starts coming around, I know Nick starts. He heard NFL draft, and those ears started perking up a little bit. But
as
I appreciate
expected,
you, buddy.
As expected.
615-844-5600. We have the question of the day. It is, what is your top three favorite sports movies? That can be the genre. It could be like the trilogy is like one. Like, you can just say all the Rocky movies. That's one. And then what are your other two? Jeff in the Burrow. Jeff, I'm not even gonna let you start talking. What is your favorite three sports movies? What's your favorite three sports movies, Jeff?
I don't really have three. I go by sports. So I don't really have three favorite ones. So
you don't have any favorite sports movies?
I do, but not three. I don't
have one.
I go by the sports, like boxing or whatever the sport is. My two favorite basketball movies are Hoosiers, probably, and Glory Road, I guess.
Okay.
I saw Jeff saying Hoosiers. I felt the Hoosiers.
A lot of older people always say Hoosiers. Hoosiers are good. Don't get me wrong. But that was like their Coach Carter. I feel like.
Yeah.
And like Coach Carter's like my age. You know.
But as far as series, as far as TV shows, y'all don't remember none of this because y'all are too young. But The White Shadow was great. It was Ken Hired played a basketball coach in high school, and that guy, I forget what the name of the high school was, but it's a real old show. It was on one of the networks. Back in the day. That's what it was called.
Oh, it was on CBS. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I've never heard of this.
Yeah, that's what the name of it was. But as far as that, you know, the first three Rocky movies were great. I thought all three of them. And the one that where he befriends that boxer and starts managing that boxer, and that other guy comes in and tells him he can get a title fight.
Rocky later, Five.
So gives him all that money and they start fighting in the street or something. Mm-hmm.
Rocky Five, yeah, that's the fifth one. Tommy Morrison.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what number it was, but I wanted to ask you, Zach, how's that skunk and air conditioner doing? Y'all doing all right? How's that skunk? Did you get the skunk out of the air conditioner?
Where's the skunk coming from?
Remember you said you had a skunk?
Oh, man, yeah. It's gone now. That was like 2.5 months ago. I forgot all about that. You know what, Jeff? This is the problem with that. You know what you did? You know what you just did? I forgot about it, and the damn skunk's going to come out now and spray it because we're in spring now. It's coming out of hibernation, and it's going to piss me off, and I'm going to think of you in the middle of the night.
See what happens? When it does that, you can get rid of it again, and then your wife won't tell you you're useless. Well, it is, see?
I can't get rid of it, though. That's the problem. I don't know how to do it. I look up. I Google everything. You can't put your air conditioning unit in a tomato.
just call up Bob in Brazil. He'll be able to help you out.
Okay.
Call him up. He'll be able to help you out. Bob in Bellevue.
Bob in Bethlehem.
Bob in Barcelona.
He'll come over. He'll bring you some MBs to help you out. Get rid of it. But I did want to talk about the NFL draft just a little bit.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
I was reading a story online that said that, I don't know if it's really to some NFL, I don't know who it was, but said Kentucky might have two first-round picks. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not. That's what they were saying. And who they are is that Davis, that linebacker, Jamin Davis, and then the other guy's Kelvin Joseph. He transferred from LSU and played for Kentucky last year. They both of them had real good seasons. They decided, I don't know what years they were in school, but I think they both decided to go to the draft. They say they might, and it's possible. So I don't know. I haven't really followed too close as far as the picks, but I know one guy on SEC Network last night was talking about, I watched that show they have, I forget what the name of it is, that was going over all the highlights and things, and he was talking about the type of pass catchers, and he had that Smith guy at Alabama, number three. He had that Chase at number two, that guy that opted out. And he had Kyle Pitts, the best pass catcher as far as the draft, he thought.
Mm-hmm.
Pitts from Florida guy, you know, mm-hmm. and everything. But that's I forget what the guy's name was. He was on there analyzing people. Of course, they ain't going to do SEC players. Of course, they ain't going to do nothing else. Of course, as far as that goes. But now, who you think the Titans going to snake first this year? You know, last year they snaked the great Isaiah Wilson. You know, that's a great player guy. He's just all over the place. We know how great a career he had. So,
can you imagine if they picked another offensive lineman?
Can happen.
No, I mean, I know how a player is. I ain't talking about no lineman. I know about player in general. I don't care what position they play. I know about if they pick another batman. What I'm saying.
I like I There's a lot of pieces it can go for. I mean, personally, we haven't really talked about it. We're kind of planning on talking about that today, of like who we looked at. I mean, last week we talked about what position really should they go after, more or less, not so much the player. But you look at the Titans draft right now, and you have to kind of say, just from the folly that they had last year, they have to pick best player available regardless. They need to pick talent. They need to pick future player. That's what they need to look at. It's clear that that's been their problem. You can't waste a first-round pick like they did last year in around the same spot that they did last year. Newsom, the cornerback, where's he from?
Northwestern.
That's one guy that I think that's clearly a role they need. He looks like a player that they're going to be able to it's kind of that Christian Fulton type where he can jump in day one, which he's going to have to because right now the cornerback spot's terrible. But if they went with a wide, well, who's the wide receiver out?
Bateman.
Of, Bateman, that's the other one of Minnesota, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Rashard Bateman?
Rashard Bateman.
Yeah, so that's another guy, like, they need to fill the wide receiver spot. So they're in a position where the sexy picks, the cornerbacks, the wide receivers, are someone they actually should go for. But they get rid of Dennis Kelly. And they don't have Jack Conklin. They don't have Isaiah Simmons or Isaiah Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do now? Because you're in a situation where you could take an offensive lineman. I think heads would roll in Nashville if they take another offensive lineman with the first pick.
One thing I mentioned, I was looking yesterday. Y'all guys know I'm a big Kentucky fan. But they was talking about there was a guy that Steelers signed. Kentucky had their pro day. You know, the guys working out. And I think his name was Carter, I believe was his name. He's a lineman or something. I think his name's T.J. Carter. And what they did, they worked out pro day. All the different guys worked out. And the Steelers, right after the pro day was over, the Steelers signed this guy. He's a former player. He was with the Saints for a while in the preseason. I think it was last year or 2 years ago, something like that. And I guess he hadn't been playing. He wanted to work out at the pro day. He's a former Kentucky player. And the Steelers they signed him on the spot right after pro day was over with. They just signed him right. Of course, that's three of them now. The Steelers, that Snell, Benny Snell, and I think they got a guy, Taylor, I can't remember his, he played, he was an undrafted free agent or something like that, and he made the team. Of course, they got three former Kentucky players on there now, but I didn't want to say, I don't know, he's your co-host, he played at Vanderbilt football, right?
Yeah, Bruno played, yeah, he's not here today, but yeah, he played Vanderbilt. Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is, they're having a documentary, I don't know if y'all seen it, as I was watching some of the game last night, baseball game, it's just a little bit of it, Vanderbilt, it was a pretty good ball game, once Vanderbilt won. Of course, beat George last night. But I was watching that. They had a promo for it. I don't know if y'all seen it or not. But they're going to have this going to come on Monday night. You know, they have them SEC, them documentaries they do on mm-hmm. this stuff. Well, they're having one on Vanderbilt. It's going to be on their women's bowling. What it's going to be on. And it's called, the name of it is Vandy Roll. That's the name of it. Vandy
That'll be good. Because they're a winning team.
they got it on there. They did a little snippet of it. And it's going to be, I forget what time it's going to be. I guess in prime time, like 7 o'clock, whatever it starts. But that's what it's called, Vandy. Vandy Rolls. Some of them, they've got new ones out. I think they've got like about three or four new ones they put out. There's one of them they put out about Kentucky, the 78, a championship team, Kentucky. It was called Win or Else. It's been a few weeks ago now. They've aired it, of course, several, like they'll do with the Vanderbilt one. They were aired several times, but that's what it's about, women's. It's about their women's bowling team. But I was asking you, Zach, how shocked you that Rocker got it right? How about that Kumar? Did pretty well, didn't he?
He actually, you know what's crazy is he did. He had 12 strikeouts off top of that. So, like, he was playing well, but just 7 hits, 12 strikeouts, and I think he walked 2 people. You know, 3 home runs went off of him. It's kind of insane. But, you know, too, it's what baseball player, what baseball team dominates from end to end, right? Like, Georgia Southern's not better than Vanderbilt, but they beat them. You know, they won one game, and so you're going to eventually win one game on these guys. They're not bulletproof, but it's in the moments when we see them.
Yeah, there's no team going to go undefeated in baseball if you play so many games. But like I was telling them the other day, I mean, pitchers ain't gonna be perfect all the time.
Right. And like I said, even when he gave up all those runs, still had 12 strikeouts in the game. Like, he was still destroying them.
But he gave up 7 hits, but 3 of them was home runs.
Right. And bases on, and you start building up the points that way. So
when you get home runs with the men on bases, you start building up the runs and stuff. But like I told them the other day, Vanderbilt's gonna come back, and they might win today. I don't know, but if they play, I don't know. I guess they're gonna play. They got that turf, so I guess they're gonna be able to play. I reckon. I don't really know, but with the rain and all that stuff, but and everything. But,
yeah, we'll see how that plays out because that it's a big game against Georgia. I mean, this is the rubber match, so.
Boy, it'd be breaking. It might be on CNN and Fox News tonight. Vanderbilt losing. It'd be breaking news. They're going to lose a doggone thing. Well, y'all won't know what to do. It's at WVSR, Vanderbilt Sports, WVSR, Vandy Boys. What y'all do? What Vandy needs to do, though, is get them Vandy girls play some softball. They can find some land for a softball field. Maybe they'll take some of that $300 million, invest in some softball, some volleyball. Maybe they'll invest in a volleyball net, get them a volleyball team. But maybe they can hang with Kentucky one day. But y'all hang in there.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it, buddy. 615-844-5600 if you want to get in on the talk. What time is Vandy today? Do you know right off
1:45 pregame
1:45. Okay, yeah, Kevin Ingram will be on the call today. We'll give you an update though if the weather is going to change it because I it's hard. I know it's turf field, but even with this kind of weather, sometimes
I think the storm's supposed to come early in the morning.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
We'll see what happens. So let's just move it over to the draft talk. First off. We are doing a draft show, a draft night special. It'll be day one of the draft as they were doing it. So the 29th, we'll be doing a show. It'll be me, Ray, Bruno will be here. Bobby will be here. We'll be here basically the entire time of the whole first draft where we're going to be doing a call-in show. So if you want to be a part of it, we're just going to be hanging out, talking about the draft, talking about the picks, reacting to the picks, all those sort of things, giving our predictions of what we think teams are going to do, that sort of thing. You could join us that day. We're going to have a fun time. It'll be the video side. We're going to be doing a video. We're also going to be doing just a normal show over there here on Nashville Sports Radio, so you're going to be able to get inside of that. You'll hear more about that as time keeps going on. You'll start hearing some promos and things about that. So just talking about the draft, I was looking at I went to the Draft Network. If you ever want to do a mock draft, that's a great place.
Don't go to Watch or Football.
I don't know. I go to thedraftnetwork.com. I'll give them a free plug, but so I just was mocking it up. First round pick, Titans at 22, assuming they're staying there. I doubt they're going to be able to trade away. I think it might be smart. But Greg Newsome got taken by – or tooken? Taken?
Taken.
Taked? Got taked by the Colts on 21, which is a real situation, right? Like that's a – because the Colts have the 21st pick. They're right behind the – or sorry, right ahead of the Titans. Something I never thought about is that we could really see – the Colts play defense on this draft and take away a piece that the Titans really seem like they're wanting to go after, which is a cornerback. Here's who's left right now. This is left on the board at the 22nd pick. Najee Harris from Alabama, the running back. Kwity Paye, the edge rusher from Michigan, which we, you know, the Titans still can talk about edge a little bit. Not so much that it'll be the first pick, but it's something to talk about. Trevon Mooring, the safety from TCU. Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver from Minnesota, and Xavien Collins from Tulsa. That's the picks that are left here. If I'm the Titans at this point, the cornerback spot's not really there, right? Like to say this is the way the draft actually falls. I'm looking at Rashad Bateman. Is that fair? I think.
I mean, because you have 1,000 yards to make up with the loss of Corey Davis, right?
More.
Maybe more than that.
Adam
right?
Humphries, Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, none of those people have been replaced.
There's a tight end from Miami I like that plays a lot like Geno Smith. They'll probably be around the third round. So I think that. But yes, I think Bateman would be it. There's a player that I've been hearing about, Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackle from Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he plays at right side, a lot like Conklin, but I heard he's better than Conklin. And I've also heard the Colts are interested in him as well. So it's like, that's another piece that I might, because you and I, you just spoke just a few minutes ago with Jeff about like, you know, would it be a shocker if they went to the offensive side? No, it wouldn't be.
I'll tell you what's crazy. Now, this is just the Draft Network, right? This is a simulated draft. It's not a real draft. Yeah. This is probably not going to happen. Devontae Smith fell all the way to 20th. Went to the Bears at 20. Alabama wide receiver, Heisman winner last year.
Would you trade up?
How would you not?
Yeah.
If he's still, if you're getting to the 18, 19 spot where you're going, that's Dolphins, Washington football team, they're going to fix their needs where they have. But we know the Titans are going to go after a wide receiver spot. So if you could work a deal with the Bears to trade some draft picks away and try to get up ahead of the Colts, who are definitely going to look for a wide receiver as well.
Yeah.
See, the Colts are in the situation where they can just take anybody.
Yep.
They can go. And really, they're in the situation the Titans were in last year where it was like, just put a piece in. do something where playmakers come in and they end up taking off in the line. I was very upset about it last year. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing a live show at the time, so who knows? I might cuss on air.
I mean, because but that's what we want, right? That's what we want to give viewers.
No, we don't want to go that far.
No, I mean, not that far, but I'm talking about our frustrations, like in terms of like, we feel it. But
and Jalen Waddle ended up going first in 15 at the 15 spot. So those two Alabama wide receivers who were just monsters went pretty late in this simulated draft. I wonder if somebody like that is going to fall towards the Titans. If there's a possibility that they could fall. Like Najee Harris. I mean, I understand running backs aren't really being taken anymore in the first round, but we know he's the best running back in the draft. Mm-hmm. We know that he's going to be a playmaker. He's an Alabama guy. He's a Derrick Henry. People compare him to Derrick Henry a lot, not so much in the size and power department, just the way he runs.
Right.
It's surprising to see that. And like I said, this is a mock draft. It's not real. But still, you look at it and think, if Devontae Smith gets close to 20, Titans have to make a move to try to get up and get him. They have to make a move and try to get up someone. If the Heisman falls to him, an Alabama wide receiver falls that far, how do you not try to make a move for him?
No, I completely agree. Him with Brown would be a nightmare.
It would, because right now, I think if the Titans didn't make any moves, and outside of these first-round wide receivers, because the wide receiver pool is arguably depth. I mean, it's very deep in this draft, and it has been for the last couple of years. I think anybody outside of the first round for the Titans, if they do not take a wide receiver that can impact day one, A.J. Brown is going to have massive problems mm-hmm. in his season next year. He is a tremendous wide receiver, but there are very select few wide receivers that can go out by themselves on an island, nobody else around, no other talent on the other side, and be an impact player without getting double teamed. I don't care how good you are. If you're getting double teamed, if you're getting game planned, these teams are going to take you out. They're going to take you out. I don't care how athletically you are, how athletic, how strong, how fast, how anything. I don't care about any of that. If you are getting double teamed and they're game planning you and you're the only threat, you are going to have a problem. And this is where the Titans have been for a while. This is why I was always more on the boat of Corey Davis, because Corey Davis never had anybody else up until A.J. Brown showed up. And all of a sudden, we're like, wow, Corey Davis is a good wide receiver. It's like, No, that's not coincidence. He was alone.
He was.
He was alone in a game plan that didn't thrive for him. He'd have one good game. Next week, they would take him out of the game because the defenses were playing for him and game him out. So I'm worried that the Titans are going to go down that ship of, well, you know, A.J. Brown's just good enough. We can just have A.J. Brown out there. No, A.J. Brown is not. Nobody's good enough. Julio Jones needs somebody else next to him. He needed Roddy White early. He needs Russell Ridley. Gage. He needs Ridley. He needs those guys even today. You know, there's no wide receivers that just go out there. Maybe there's a select handful through the history of the NFL that could just, I'm a number one. I can just go out there by myself. I'm the X. I don't have to worry
about
anything.
Like the Andre Johnsons of the world and stuff like that, that didn't need much in terms of having a wide receiver, too.
And so the Titans really need to prioritize getting a wide receiver that's going to be able to make an impact day one. And I think the line really does kind of cut off at Rashad Bateman. I mean, there's other wide receivers that are going to be good in here that aren't, you know, who's the other LSU? There's another LSU wide receiver that's kind of deep in this that I think a lot of people. Terrace Marshall. Yeah. That's another one. Marshall Jr.
Big body.
It's just they got to look at it from that point of view because they are replacing Corey Davis. They're replacing Jonnu Smith. They're replacing Adam Humphries. They're replacing Khalif Raymond. They have done nothing for the most part. Batson's going to be okay to fill that Khalif Raymond void. But past that, you're losing a lot of yards and a lot of targets that help out A.J. Brown to make him better.
100% clear. I mean, it's going to be tough. And I just, the offensive side of the ball for the Titans really worry me this year. I think that with Smith gone, taking the job with Atlanta, I expected to step back. And if the defense thought they had pressure last year, they're going to have even more this year.
Well, we talked about it. You look at Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. All those guys had career best years.
Yep.
and they still just barely won the AFC South. Hakeem on Facebook answering the question, what's your favorite three sports movies? He says, Any Given Sunday, so he's on board with you with that. The Sandlot, which I completely forgot about The Sandlot. The Sandlot 2, by the way, which was the exact same movie, but the premise was instead of getting a ball signed by Babe Ruth, it was like, I got to get my toy rocket ship. The girl that was in there, I think she played Sam, her name was Sam, either in real life or in whatever. We went to school together. She was in Chattanooga. And then he's got Remember the Titans as his three. So Remember Titans getting up there as well. That's all. I feel like every high school I was ever in, which I was only in one, but every football coach's class that I ever had, whenever it was fall, it was like, all right, we're watching Remember Titans, guys, and then they were going to go do whatever they were going to do. it was never like a real study time, you know? Like, it was, we're going to kind of mail this one in today. We got to go ahead and hit a break. Before we get into that break, you know, I want to talk about our friends over at Nissan of Rivergate, Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. You want to go check them out on their website, nissanofrivergate.com. Go on that website, you can see the entire inventory of cars that are on the dealership right now. You can even talk to somebody right there on the website, and you can see what the deals they're doing, all that kind of stuff right there at nissanofrivergate.com. If you want to give them a call, go to 615-541-4757. That's 615-541-4757. Every car that I've ever purchased has been from Nissan of Rivergate. That is not a lie. That is 100% true statement. I love going there. The buy process is so easy. It's so simple. You don't have to deal with all the pressure, sales, and all this different stuff. They just make it simple for you. They help find a car for your price, your budget, and your lifestyle. You need to check them out again. NissanRivergate.com, 1550-1550, Gallatin Pike North in Madison. Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, where a dollar always goes farther. Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at nissanofrivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
No time to drive through? Get Slim's delivered. Our hand-breaded tenders, perfectly fried wings, southern sides, and even sweet treats. All delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim Chickens app and select delivery. Whether you're driving through, pulling up for curbside service, or now getting it delivered, Slim's has you covered. Download the Slim Chickens app and order online.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
So 615-844-5600, the number you're going to call in if you want to get in. We're talking about, question of the day has been, by the way, what's your favorite three sports movies? You can answer in, or you can go and call in, like at the number, 615-844-5600. So we were talking about this in the break, but we'll talk about it now, too. Obviously, the biggest news with the Titans this week was that Jim Schwartz, bringing back a name from the blast of the past, from the chain gang days here in Tennessee, is coming back as a, what's the official title, a defensive senior analyst or something like that, or something of that nature. Basically, he's just going to hang out and try to tell everybody what to do. That's kind of what it seems like. Really weird situation for me to think about it, just because we already know Vrabel, huge control freak. Huge control. Wants to have the full control of everything. Shane Bowen, we find out last year, was apparently the acting defensive coordinator, even though everybody kind of had the guides that it was Vrabel up until, you know, the season was over, everything was done, and he was like, oh, well, Bowen was actually the one doing it. And now they've officially gave Bowen the title and said, yes, you are the defensive coordinator. And then they bring in Schwartz. Too many cooks in the kitchen, right? Like, just so many hands in the pot right now in the cookie jar, and I just wonder what we're going to see. There's some questions, and you said this, Ray, that off-air, that, you know, are they going to go from a 4-3 or to a 4-3 now, even though they've been a 3-4? I think they stay a 3-4 because Vrabel has been a 3-4 guy. That is what the Titans have been for the last number of years. I don't think they're going to make that much of an overhaul on the defensive scheme. But it begs the question of, what is the real thought behind bringing Jim Schwartz in? What's the motive there? Is it that we think Shane Bowen's not enough because he was doing it last year and we saw the Titans be a historically bad defense? Because if that's the thing, why the hell did you make him the DC?
Exactly.
Why didn't you search anywhere else? Or are you just saying that you really think that it was a personnel problem and that's why you got rid of majority of the defense? This is a weird boat that the Titans are in right now. This is a weird boat what the Titans are doing. I don't know how it's going to work. I get the mindset of it, though. I will say that I understand the mindset. It was like, we just need to bring people in here that know the defensive side. We just need to bring them in and, like, let's just crash it all together and hope that this works out. Let's hope that this works out. Past that, though, I think they're on a dangerous line right now. I think they're on a dangerous line. We'll talk more about it, though, all in the second hour. We have a whole second hour coming up here, fun and sun in the way. Do not go away. I promise. We're going to have some fun right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings, here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
At Slim Chickens, you and your family are our first priority. In every restaurant, we're working to ensure our food is safe, fresh, and ready when you are. From in-store pickup, curbside service, or now, you can get it delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim's app. We're here for you, and we're ready to serve. Download the Slim Chickens app to order, earn rewards, and get it delivered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and we are coming off a rare NASCAR off weekend, but we've got short track action this weekend at Martinsville Speedway, the half mile of mayhem. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Denny Hamlin. I get my NASCAR news on The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
Every single weekday right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
WPDQ.
Thanks, bro.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The national supply of Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccines is going to drop because of a problem at a production facility in Baltimore. Meanwhile, sites in four states temporarily halted distribution of the Johnson & Johnson shot after some people reported adverse reactions. Virologist Dr. Paul Offit tells ABC.
People got anxious, so they started to hyperventilate. They had tingling in their hands and feet. They felt nauseated, sometimes vomited. And when you see one person do that at a site, that only makes you all the more anxious. And I think that's what happened at a few of those sites.
One site in Colorado is only going to use Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, saying that's mainly because of supply. UNC Health in North Carolina is resuming Johnson & Johnson shots today. The CDC has said it is safe. The medical examiner who performed George Floyd's autopsy testified Friday. He stands by his ruling. Floyd's death was a homicide. Derek Chauvin's attorneys have argued it was caused by a heart condition or drugs. And all-American carriers using the 737 MAX jets have grounded them because of a potential electrical problem. This is ABC News.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
Are you looking to start your own home gym? Hey guys, it's Zach, and I've got the hookup for you. Premier Fitness Source has opened a new location here in the Nashville area, and they are there to help you build the gym of your dreams. They can help you with residential and commercial exercise equipment and with the entire process from design to sales, installation, and maintenance. They are located at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. From ellipticals to weight benches, they have all the tools you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. Go check out their website at premierfitnesssource.com or go see them in Brentwood at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 next to Publix. And check out their Instagram at PFS_Tennessee. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to receive a free gift. Again, that address is 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. At Premier Fitness Source, they are committed to more than your satisfaction.
Do not push the button. You have no idea what...
Broadcasting live, high atop the Nashville Sports Radio Broadcasting Complex. Welcome back to the Millennial Sports Morning.
Millennials, who are they? What do they want?
With your host, Zach Williams. Get into the Millennial Sports Mornings now. 615-844-5600. Follow WNSR on Facebook and Twitter for the live stream.
Humans are disgusting.
Millennial Sports Mornings is brought to you by Slim Chickens, with locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Now, here's your host, Zach Williams.
Second hour of MSM coming at you right here on Nashville Sports Radio, brought to you by Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, Radnor Wine and Spirit, Slim Chickens, and as always, our video is powered by Premier Fitness Source in Brentwood, Tennessee. If you're looking to build your own home gym, go check them out there in Brentwood. Also, by the way, we're going to be having FNM Bank join back here soon, so that's nice to have. Just give them a shout out because I love all the people over at FNM Bank. So second hour, we kind of left this conversation going into the first hour, but we'll talk about it here too. So Shane Bowen, obviously the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, and now Jim Schwartz coming in, really confusing time, I think, if you're Shane Bowen, because this is very much the Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill now is in town, right? Like, we have somebody that's a veteran in your job, has done your job, and we know can do your job. Not only do we know they can do your job, they did your job here. Like, they were already here at one point doing that job. But now you have the, what is it they call it? What was the official title? You found it up. It was the
Senior Defensive Assistant.
Senior Defensive Assistant. That tells me nothing because
zero.
He gets the coffee faster. He like knows the quicker route to get the coffee. Like, what
does he sleep in? Like, what is he like?
I can't imagine they brought him in the guides of like, look, Shane Bowen's the guy. We just need you to show up. I can't imagine they did that. What I can imagine is a world where they said, well, we'll just make Shane Bowen the assistant, or sorry, the coordinator, and Vrabel's still going to do everything. And then Bowen probably bucked a little bit and said, "I know I'm the defensive coordinator. We need to run it this way." And they said, "Okay, well, we'll bring in an assistant to make sure that you know you have help, because last year you did a terrible job because he was the one apparently doing, even though he wasn't the one doing it, but he was the one doing it." That's the official message from the Titans. If it all goes well, do we say, "Wow, Shane Bowen did a terrific job"? If this next season comes and they have, let's not say like they're a world-breaking defense, but let's just say they're very much a bend-don't-break defense for the Tennessee Titans, and they win some games to get to the playoffs, they don't do the magic run we all hope, do we say, wow, Shane Bowen did a great job? It was Shane Bowen. Or do we look at it now and say, Jim Schwartz? Do we look back to the last 2 years and say, Vrabel really didn't know what the hell he was doing? I feel like a lot of this stuff's going to get answered, and it's going to be tough for the Titans to kind of retract how they feel. I feel like they're just going to hope that the fans just forget. Like, if they win, the fans are, you know, winning fixes everything kind of thing. I don't think the Jim Schwartz move is good for the Titans. I think what it's going to do, it's going to create a power struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Because this isn't like the Mariota Ryan Tannehill thing. It all worked out, right? But there's one person on the field getting the ball in their hands. You know, that's just a fact that you have to accept. On the sideline, everybody has the headsets. Everybody in practice and in the meetings, everybody has the schemes. And you're going to see a weird power struggle where I'm worried that you're going to kind of see. You ever worked in like a really bad office environment? Like you had too many bosses? Like, I'm worried that's what we're going to see the Titans do. They're going to have too many bosses. You're going to have one boss tell you one thing, and then the defense is going to go over here, and then you're going to have the other boss tell you to do the other thing.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really think that's the worrisome part that I'm going to see for the Titans, is that they're going to create this weird environment where there's no structure because there's too much influence around. Because you're going to have Bowen, who's like, I'm the DC. This is my title. Well, you're gonna have Schwartz is gonna come in and says, "Well, I have the years of experience. I am the guy. They brought me in for a reason. There wasn't a reason they would. You know, they don't need to bring someone of my caliber in as an assistant. Then you're going to have Vrabel in there saying, well, I'm the damn head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm building this team. I'm running this team. I'm running this defense. I was doing a DC job over in Houston, and look how great that was. So I think we're going to get to that point, and maybe it may not come out that way. We may not hear about it, but we're going to be sitting there looking at the watching the press conferences, listening to how they speak, and the day's going to come where somebody's going to ask the question, hey, who's actually in charge?
Mm-hmm.
Who's running this? How do the players feel about this? How do the players feel that they have a three-headed monster in front of them that is not together at all?
Right.
One wants to go straight, one wants to go right, one wants to go left. Where do we go? That's not a great... You know, what great society runs off multiple leaders? Where would we be without the popes? Where would we be without... The two presidents that we have, you know, it doesn't work. You got to have one leader. I stole that from The Office. If anybody knows,
no, I did. Steal I mean, that from it's the Office. It's right for this segment. I mean, yeah.
I just wonder though for the Titans, if it's just too many. It's too many cooks in the kitchen, too many hands in the cookie jar. I'm worried that that's going to play a real problem for this team.
The thing is that when you look at Schwartz, he's not a traditional assistant. We're talking about a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator here.
Yeah.
You know?
This was somebody that if they went and made a hire,
yeah,
we would talk about all the accolades and everything
right.
And made him the defensive coordinator.
And we know we just talked about it before we went to the break. About our base is a 3-4 and he plays a 4-3. Now, his you know, knowledge will be, you know, very, very valuable to the team itself. But in terms of being able to give credit to Bowen if he turns things around and if they, you know, go to the playoffs, and it's gonna be a hard sell. Because if you think about it, this is the second go-around we've done this before with the Titans itself. 2013, Coach Munchak brought back Greg Williams, who was a defensive coordinator here, as a defense assistant. During that time, Jerry Gray was a defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? What you're basically speaking on right now. Confusion, don't know who to follow, yeah. I don't know who to lead, who's talking what. So it's just going to just, I'm just... A lot of fans are happy about the hire because Jim Schwartz is, you know.
They're seeing the name. This is the same thing.
Yeah.
This is the same thing last year when I brought up for Vic Beasley. Everybody thought, Vic, what a great name. It's like, well, they don't have a lot of great track record. Isaiah Wilson, you know, that pick never made sense to me, but he's from Georgia. He's a lineman in the SEC. It's just going to work. They don't realize, the fans especially, it's Titans Twitter. I've talked about it a million times. They're stupid. I really think Titans Twitter, and look, they think they're stupid. You know what I mean? Like, they talk about it. And
it's emotions, man.
It's very much emotional. You know, Bill King, there's a promo that goes for Bill King that it doesn't matter what team brings in any new coach. Mm-hmm. It's for the second he gets up there and says, go team, and says all the right things, and the fan base says, we got it. We finally got the guy. It happens every time. That's just how it is with fans.
No, I completely agree. And I think that it's just going to be a hard – it's going to be hard for the players. They don't know who to lead and who's going to say what. And I don't know what the formation is going to look like. I mean, you could basically – you could play, you know, five starting with Harold Landry and Dupree as your defensive ends, but they're not. I mean, Dupree's not. I don't think he's big enough to play defensive. Now, if you had, you know, a Clowney who's more of a longer range guy, he might be able to fill that.
Well, what the hell is with Clowney, by the way?
Yeah, I don't,
why does he take so long to sign? Why does he do this? Is he that lazy that he just doesn't want to sign?
No,
that really might be what it is.
Well, I mean, you think about it, maybe it's not him, maybe it's the teams itself.
The market's getting worse. Well, every day it goes forward.
No, if you think about it, look, you got the first wave of free agency, and then when players can't, or players are asking for certain money or whatever, and they feel like it's out of their hand, they're just like, you know, I can't sign you now because we've used most of our players, our use of our cap for players that we wanted, whether it be they need to shore up the offensive tackle, whatever. Then you have the draft. Once you have the draft, if players are not, if teams don't get a player they want in the draft, then there's that wave two of free agency. Look, Casey Hayward's still out there.
Yeah.
Let's say we don't go cornerback in the first round and we go Bateman. We've got Casey Hayward, who's a solid corner.
Yeah, I think Hayward's the market is going to deplenish the closer they get because the budget is going to get tighter.
Right.
And it's like, and he did this last year for Clowney especially. He did it. He signed in the middle of camp. So, you know, so it's just it's weird that he takes forever.
I see these guys signing after, you know, the playoffs. I see that being, you know, a big push. I mean, you still got Melvin Ingram out there as well, another defensive end. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got players and options there. So.
I'm surprised the Chiefs didn't really go after him right. as much. So. But yeah, so I think the defensive coordinator's position, the Titans are in a vicious circle, it seems like, with what they're going to do. And I don't know if it's going to benefit. I don't think it's going to benefit. I think it's going to hinder. The only way, because, okay, tell me if this sounds good. Middle of the season, Titans are doing terrible on defense. They fire Bowen, which, by the way, feel terrible for Bowen in that situation because he has just been screwed the entire way by the Titans organization, in my mind. But they get rid of Bowen, and they say, okay, Schwartz, now you're the guy. Let's do this. Now we're mid-season. We're changing up the scheme. We're changing up all this stuff because clearly the first scheme wasn't working, so now you're going to have to change everything. That's a nightmare situation. Not unlike, though, and I have arguments with myself in my head. I can hear the other side.
Trying to work it out, man.
I hear the other side. Well, Ryan Tannehill came in week 6
yeah.
and turned it all around for the Titans. 2-4, right. And then they were in the AFC Championship. Yeah. So maybe the shakeup would be good. So there's a back and forth to it. But I'm just, I don't know. I'm not completely on board with this hire. And also, let's be frank here. Schwartz isn't exactly a terrific guy to be around. How many times have we seen this guy trying to like start fights and arguments with opposing team coaches on the field after a game, right? Like there was the classic one with, it was one of the Harbaughs, I think. But it was when he was head coach of the Lions at that time. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but yeah, it was like after a Thanksgiving game is what I'm wanting to say. I could be wrong, but he's a volatile guy is what I'm getting at. And that's kind of always been the rumor around him. I wonder if that's gonna play to that effect. If we're gonna see that work out when he has a boss who he maybe doesn't respect, who he doesn't really believe in. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if it is it Jim Harbaugh. Did he get it?
Was it Jim Harbaugh? I can't remember. Harbaugh's just popping in my head, so it could have been John too, though. I can't remember which one it was.
It was after the 49ers beat Lions. Apparently, okay, Jim Schwartz and Jim Harbaugh got into it.
Yeah,
this is in 2011.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, they got
into it on the field.
Yeah,
but there's been other cases. I'm pretty sure. This is just quick memory. I didn't sit here and research all this stuff to sound like super smart. I'm just
this is when you said coach of the Lions. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That was the one you're talking about.
So I just wonder how he's going to react to having a boss that maybe he doesn't respect. And you know what? Let's just say this. We don't know what's happening behind the closed doors. Maybe they all sat down and talked about it. And you hope they did. You hope they had the good lines of communication. Parts of me thinks that that line of communication isn't great, though, with the Titans. Because we see how Dean Pease is reacting. I mean, Dean Pease, I was on board with the train that Dean Pease just wanted to retire. You know, it wasn't anything serious. But then all of a sudden...
yeah, right.
Art Smith leaves, and DP is like, well, I'll play with Art Smith. You know, that opened my eyes a little bit to the idea that, okay, maybe DP just didn't want to be here in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's what it was. So, I don't know, man.
The thing is like, who's got more pressure? Vrabel or
Schwartz?
No, I don't think Schwartz has any. I think Schwartz has zero pressure.
Who's the other one, then?
Bowen, yeah.
Bowen?
Because the thing is, if you're thinking about it, like, if there's going to be a change midseason, I believe it's going to be more or less a hybrid situation.
It'll be
so.
The person who has more pressure is definitely Vrabel. The person who gets fired first, definitely Bowen.
Absolutely
right. Mm. Like Vrabel's going to sink with this ship all the way down.
Right.
Bowen's going to get tossed off before the ship's all the way underwater. But I think Vrabel, Robinson, all of them have a high amount of pressure. Because this is the argument Titans fans try to give me, is that this team is much different than when Vrabel and Robinson wasn't here. And it's like, okay, I agree. But you can't tell me that going 9-7 and then eventually getting some playoff wins is still the goal. Whether you're finishing like the Jags last year, 0-16, 0-17 now, I guess, with the new rules. Or finishing 9-7, 9-8. Or finishing where you're getting bounced in the first round. Or finishing to the AFC Championship and losing in the AFC. That's not the goal. The goal is to win the conference and go to the Super Bowl. So, yes, Robinson and them have elevated the Titans to where they're now in the hunt for that. But at some point, you got to say, hey, take us there. Take us there. What's the missing step here? What is missing that you can't bring us where we need to be? as the Titans organization. So they're definitely on the hot seat. They're all on the hot seat. We're talking two. You get 2 years. If you flounder in 2 years, you're out. They're gone. The Titans fans now are getting a taste of winning. They're getting a taste of dominance. They're getting a taste of like what a good team feels like again after years without that, without years of consistency. It's great that Vrabel and Robinson did that. Full credit to them for doing that. But the fact of the matter is that cannot be your ceiling. This cannot be your ceiling. You have to push past that and find that next step, find that next gear. So I think they're 100% on the hot seat, no matter what. And that goes the same for a lot of other teams, too. This isn't just a Tennessee Titans issue. This is a full NFL-wide issue.
Yeah, they all experience this. Absolutely.
You get 2 years consistently, right? It's how we do this last year, and you get two more years comparatively to that. That's how it works. You know, if you come out, we had the AFC Championship last year, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come out this year, they win the AFC South. That's good. They get bounced in the first round. That's bad. Now this next year is a telling year. If they come out, they don't win the AFC South, they don't get in the playoffs, that's a problem. Because now we're talking about another year of Derrick Henry, another year of Ryan Tannehill. I think with Ryan Tannehill, what do you got? Good 2-3 more years of at his level currently? I'm not saying he's going to just fall off after that, but he's not going to – I don't think we're seeing, you know, the Tom Brady effect with Ryan Tannehill. I don't think we're going to see that where he's playing until he's like 83.
So you speak of regression. Are you thinking that we're treading towards rebuild before anything else?
Well, no, but I think we're talking about this draft, right, for the Titans. Yeah. You look at it like this is a very deep wide receiver draft, very deep quarterback draft as well. You can get some real pieces in this later in the draft, and I think the Titans have to. You look at last year, they took Cole McDonald in the seventh spot, right, or in the seventh round. And Robbins has kind of done this now back-to-back years where they take a quarterback late in the rounds just kind of see what they have. I would not be surprised if we get to round five, I wouldn't even say round four in that pick, whatever their fifth, fourth pick, whatever those picks are, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Robinson go for a quarterback at that time. Because tell me one good thing about Logan Woodside that we know that he can walk in and start playing right away. We don't know. I can tell you a lot of bad things right off the rip. No experience. Never played an actual game and has an actual stat in the NFL. I mean, those are bad things to have as your backup that you may need to rely on a team that is right now in their winning window. So you got to start building that up. You got to start figuring out where do we want to go here? Do we want to get somebody in those later rounds at the quarterback spot that is going to be a player that you can actually look at for the future? I think that and look, this is what good teams do. This is what good teams do. They draft for the future. That's what you're supposed to. Your first round needs to be your draft for the now and the future. But past that first round, it is draft for the future. So that way you're not having to rebuild. You coach within, you build up within, and that's how you get teams like the Patriots, who can sit there and win every year with people you never heard about. But then all of a sudden you know everything about them because they're the best player in the league. And then they're winning Super Bowls. So I'm not too much on the guides of rebuild. I don't think Titans are near a rebuild. I just think that if they're more on the path of figuring out how to be a winning player, a winning group, a winning organization. You know, are the Steelers ever really in a rebuild? No, because they make sure they draft well. They have a good future. Are the Patriots ever really in a rebuild? I guess they were technically last year, but holy crap, did they bounce back in this offseason? They're going to be right. It seems like they're going to be right back to form. The Chiefs, are they ever really in a rebuild? They are consistently a strong team to play. Now, there were some years in the early 2000s. Yeah, maybe we could talk about it. After Trent Green left. But for the most part, they're not really in a rebuild. They may have an off year. That's where the Titans got to start getting. Before we go into a break, let's talk about our friends over at Radnor Wine and Spirits. Look, check out their Instagram for me. Go look at their Instagram, RadnorLiquor615. You go to RadnorLiquor615, and that way you can see everything going on inside of their store. They have recipes, they have special drops. It's crazy to me. I really didn't know this. I did not know that, that liquor stores had drops for select alcohol bottles. I never thought of that. I'm a big sneakerhead. I know that that is something that is huge, and there's drops for that. Like, you have to show up, be in line, like that sort of thing, and win raffles. That's the same thing with liquor stores. So if you're trying to get those select bottles that you're looking for, you need to make sure that you're following them on Instagram so you can see when these drops are happening. You can be aware of it because they do them at Radnor Wine & Spirits, and they do them correctly. That's Radnor Liquor 615, or you can go visit them at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, here around in the Berry Hill area. You'll be seeing, they're right there next to the AT&T store right there in that Melrose area. It's 2635 8th Avenue South, and we talk about it all the time. Friendly staff, knowledgeable staff, people that you can talk to. You can just walk in there, say hey to Walt and the guys, and just talk to them about sports, talking about life, whatever. They're very friendly, customer-focused staff that they're going to be able to help you out. Again, that's Radnor Liquor 615 on Instagram, 2635 8th Avenue South in Berry Hill. Go tell them your friends over here at Nashville Sports Radio said hi. We're going to take a break. Back after this right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy conforme. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du vient tout.
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at babbel.com. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of four Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or pulling up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Radnor Wine & Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine & Spirits in Nashville.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
The George Blaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Blaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Blaster Show.
This thing will be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Blaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Must say, feeling kind of odd. No. Today is going to be a good day, huh? It's going to be a good day. So let's get into a little Bobby part-time, Bobby fill-in, CDL talk. What's going on with the CDL today? Because it's got majors today. It's a big day.
Yeah, it's the second major of the
year. My boys are... They're up there.
Yeah, they're
skin of their teeth. It seems like, but they're doing it.
Yeah, they're not making it look easy. I'll say that. But yeah. So Dallas Empire plays the Atlanta Faze today. That was the team.
My boys. Right.
That's your day. Oh, yeah. My boys. Bandwagoner. Yeah. I was with the Dallas Empire.
Such a bandwagoner. I will not even deny it. I'm such a bandwagoner.
But Faze hasn't looked as dominant as they did in the first major. You know, they've had some cracks in their armor, to say the least.
Has it happened since I started becoming a fan? Is that what happened?
Actually, kind of. Yeah. But yeah, 5 o'clock today on youtube.com/CODLeague, you'll have the Dallas Empire versus FaZe. They'll be playing for top two. The winner of that match is guaranteed top two. It'll be good. And then down the loser's bracket, it's a double elimination style tournament. So down the loser's bracket, we got the Minnesota Rocker playing Optic Chicago. And you have Toronto Ultra playing the Los Angeles Thieves. That's my team. They're making a great loser's run right now.
Kenny, of the Thieves that we've had on the show.
Kylo Ken is what they've been calling him because he put on Twitter that he bought a lightsaber earlier this week, and now he's been playing amazing, so everybody's calling him Kylo Ken.
Good. Rock with it.
Yeah, it's been going good. So. Yeah, dude, it's just a great weekend for sports in general. Real sports, esports, it's just a great weekend.
Hold on now.
What?
Real sports, esports, real sports are esports.
All sports.
All the
sports. Do we have, that'll be the question we'll put next week. I remember... A couple years ago, we did a podcast. It was me, Dan Bradley, Brian Robinson. If you're watching, I miss you guys. We haven't seen him in a while. But Dan's got a beautiful baby now. And very proud. He puts photos all over the place. She's gorgeous. But we did a podcast, and it's called After Dark Sports, is what it was called. And we had this discussion. They were very much on the side that esports is not real sports.
How long ago was
this? I posed this to
you.
Well,
they just answered it last week when you had the interview. And the guy's like, you know, you have to train and exercise and all that stuff. And
what considers it a real sport, though? Is it what they do or the public perception?
Well, is it the same thing as NASCAR? How's that a real sport?
It's a fair assessment. Yeah. That's a fair assessment because every time you do that, the instant is, well, you should see how hard it is for these guys, how hard they have to train to stay in that car for that long at that amount of speed.
And the reaction and all that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's weird when we talk about NASCAR and people say, well, is it real athletes or not? And then we talk about professional Call of Duty players or video game esports.
Mm-hmm.
Is that real sports? But we don't go to the – people don't go to that. They go, well, they're just, you know, sitting at home in front of their computer or whatever at their mom's house.
Let me put it like this. If you can draw an audience in to get you to like watch you do something like that, you know, I think that kind of makes it like a sport because people, I feel like sports are something that people watch. So like,
yeah,
if you could do anything and if you get to draw a crowd and have them watch you do it, then I think that's considered a sport.
You need, as long as it has the competitiveness.
Yeah.
In the sense, I think that's what makes it a sport. I think if it's a competitive between you and whether it's time or another person or whatever, then that makes it another sport. That makes it a sport in general.
So competition is what drives a sport.
I think so.
Yeah.
So
otherwise playing.
So what's like a war?
What's a war?
Yeah, I mean that's competition. You're trying to take over another country. It's one against another.
Well, I think then we start talking about bloodshed. I'm just saying, spies.
I think once people start dying, then it's not a sport anymore.
Yeah. I think we're past sport at that point.
I mean, yeah, but I'm just saying like.
But
yeah.
You like blood sport, which that guy died in that. So yeah. Maybe you like war. You think war is a sport?
Yeah.
Well, war games, right?
War games.
That's kind of they talk about that. Anyway,
but yeah, I don't know.
It's an interesting topic. Maybe we might dive deeper into it next week. I think Bruno will be in next week, and he's a big gamer guy. So he might have some different views into it, and he kind of fits both molds because he was a high level football player, and then also you know does the gaming stuff as well. But it was interesting just then to hear you say real sports, esports, and I'm like, what the hell? Bobby loves esports, but he's segregating it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. People say golf is a sport too because they're like, oh, it's not that hard. You're not doing anything. You're just walking around hitting the ball. Like,
no, golf is a sport.
Golf's definitely a sport. Golf's it's a sport. Hard.
But I love like, when people try to make that argument, though.
And that one is not so much a person versus a person as it is really a person versus elements.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I would put that more like there's the competition factor in that. Like, you're going in against that. So, like, that's a tough one to go through. Let's go to current events. What's the current events right now?
Let's do some quick hits, man. So let's talking. We've got the draft coming up, right? So
we do.
My stuff
can't stop that draft.
No. It's coming. And I think it's going to be live, right, this year? That's what we're talking about?
I don't know what the hell. It's in Cleveland. It's in Cleveland. Like, ooh-hoo. Great. I love Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland sucks. Go ahead.
Anyways.
You got bridges and you got a lake that no one likes. Or a river, whatever it is. It's body water.
Sounds like Nashville.
Yeah,
you
but
got bridges in Nashville.
Yeah, but you know what we have here? We have the Batman building and cowboy boots.
We got Broadway.
Name one thing. We got Broadway. A dog pound. A bunch of grown men put on a rubber dog mask and walk around and bark. That's Cleveland. That's true. Where you want to go. Yeah. It's almost as bad as Oakland, where you have a bunch of grown men that dress up as skeletons. That's what they do in Oakland. Now, I guess Las Vegas. Yeah. Las Vegas, Oakland sucks.
Right.
Las Vegas, I guess, is a more upper scale, crappier. It's a better, crappier Oakland. It's just stuff to do there. You can't do anything in Oakland. You get stabbed in Oakland. All right, go ahead. I'm way off the rails now.
Okay, first, it's two questions that has to resolve. There's two things I want to talk about the draft. The first one, the Atlanta Falcons. Does the draft really start at pick number 4? Because we're thinking the first three, it's you know, you're talking about Jacksonville, you're talking about the Jets, then you're talking about San Francisco, all going quarterback. And then the draft starts.
We think.
So do you see them trading the pick away? Because you're hearing rumblings that Jerry Jones loves him some Pitts. Like, he loves Kyle Pitts.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to. Can you imagine?
Well, then Cowboys historically have had tight ends be a real mainstay with their offense.
Yeah,
you look back at Jason Witten.
So, do you see Atlanta sticking around, stockpiling the picks, or sticking around and picking let's say a Ja'Marr Chase or a Kyle Pitts, maybe because they need a tight end, or maybe another quarterback, or do they trade it away? What do you see?
The Falcons, in my mind. You know, Matt Ryan is not a bad quarterback. He's a good enough quarterback for them to what they need to do.
Right.
But it is a whole new ownership group over there. Or not ownership, let me say this. It's a whole new coaching staff. And just like when we saw with the Titans, when Vrabel got in here, he wanted to make it his. And arguably now we could say one of his disciples, Art Smith, is going to be trying to do probably the same thing. Right off the rip? No, I don't think they're going to make a change. But in the next year, maybe the year after that, you're going to see a very different Atlanta Falcons offense. Because let's face it, do they have ability? Absolutely. Do they have talent? Absolutely. Julio Jones is one of the best wide receivers in the game. But with that being said, they've still fallen short. Now, they got to the Super Bowl. They had a huge lead. They lost it. And ever since then, they haven't been back. So when I see a new coach come in, I instantly think to myself, they're going to start ripping the house apart. And they want to have their team. They don't want to use another person's team to fit their scheme and their dreams and their thoughts. So this year, I could see a trade that you can see a lot of heavy picks coming for next year for them, where they're just kind of like, look, we're gonna Band-Aid this season, but the real rebuilding comes next year. So yeah, I can see it getting traded. But I'm not on this boat with the San Francisco 49ers that they're going to take a quarterback. I'm not exactly there yet. You hear them talking everything about how Garoppolo's our guy and we want a quarterback that's going to learn under Garoppolo. I get that, which makes you think, okay, they could take a quarterback here that could be of some more talent. But if they're able to trade back and go after more of, because let's face it, yeah, they have Kittle. Kittle's a great, great piece. Deebo Samuel's good when he's healthy. He gets hurt all the time. Outside of that, they lost Kendrick Bourne. They have their run game, which we know they're going to stick with.
We got Brandon Ayuk, too.
Brandon Ayuk, who is showing a lot of flashes. But, I mean, they could use another piece there. Like, you're in a spot where you have Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, two guys, Ja'Marr Chase, three guys that are instant playmakers. And if you believe in Garoppolo so much, can you not fall back and take – this is a deep quarterback draft.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not talking about a guy's going to come in and be the guy day one – Why not take a lesser pick to take your quarterback? I don't know why. Until I see the 49ers take a quarterback, I'm not on the boat they're going to take a quarterback. So that might change the Falcons if you know, because what are we taking assumably here? It's Trevor Lawrence, it's Wilson, it's Fields, right? That's kind of the fall that we've seen so far.
Well, they're saying that if it's not Fields, it's going to be Mac Jones.
Yeah.
I mean,
remember when Mac Jones, by the way, was like put down like near the 20s?
Exactly.
What
late first rounder?
What had happened? Did people just start finally looking at the tape and saying, "Oh, wait! He was a big part of that Alabama team. He was a big part of the Heisman winner."
I think what shook everything up was the fact that he might be the most pro ready after Lawrence, and that of course. But when you look at Mac Jones, is he a product of the system? You had a ton of. Did you see that?
He has two first round picks. One of them was a Heisman.
Yeah.
That he was throwing to.
Right.
And there's a lot of people out there to say that's the reason why Smith won the Heisman is because he was making these terrific catches on not that great throwing balls. And then also, by the way, he's got another potential first-round pick in Najee Harris behind him.
Yeah.
So you're talking about there's four first-round picks going in this draft from Alabama.
And a couple of linemen might be.
And a couple of linemen probably, yeah. So maybe. It could be. I always thought the Patriots were going to try to grab him. I thought that was more in that like 15 spot where he'd probably fall towards. But I'm just not on board. I'm just not 100% on board on the 49ers because they're just talking too much about how Garoppolo's our guy. They gave him a lot of money. They gave up a lot of money. And once again, we saw the team fail and win, and the quarterback spot almost didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't. How'd the run game do that day?
Right.
How'd Coleman do? How'd forgetting all the running backs' names over there now. I haven't thought about them forever. So Tevin Coleman's not even there anymore. But how did the running back game go? Was Kittle healthy and playing? You know, when Kittle's out there, arguably, I thought Beathard threw to him the best.
Yeah, and they've got Mostert there as well. So, I mean.
Mostert. So, you know, that's my thought on it. I wonder if they're going to spend that high of a pick on a quarterback, or are they going to spend that high of a pick on a position player to help bolster the offense?
Well, if it's anyone, I hope they go after a Ja'Marr Chase. Because he's perfect for that offense that Shanahan mm-hmm. likes to run with that whole play action, and he can play that wide receiver one, and he plays violently like Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty much picture perfect, the guy, you know? But then you see Pitts, and pairing him up with, oh my God, if you could pair those two tight ends together, it'd be unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, and we're also seeing that a whole lot more. I mean, yeah. Hell, look at what the Patriots just did.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Titans used Firkser and Jonnu Smith. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of double tight end that gets used out there nowadays. And that's what we talk about all the time once we get to the fantasy side. The tight end pool is so shallow because of that. Because you can have the Ravens and Mark Andrews go crazy, but then Nick Boyle's over there getting catches as well, yep. Stealing touches. So, you know, there is a real movement towards that.
Then you look at Arthur Smith down at Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
What if he gets Pitts? You see what he did with Jonnu Smith. Like, can you imagine what someone like with Pitt's talent to put him in with Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, but that Matt Ryan already a quarterback? I mean, it's just crazy.
It'd be fun.
Oh, I'm waiting for the draft. I can't wait.
So let's go. What's the next thing?
The next one is we saw a trade earlier in the week. Sam Darnold headed to Carolina for a couple picks. Who got the better of the end of the deal?
What was the exact trade? Just in forgetting about it.
It was a sixth round this year and a second and fourth next year
right.
for Darnold. And next year's quarterback crop that is, I heard it's like horrible.
Yeah.
It's nothing like Darnold will be better than all of them.
It falls the way that it falls this year, right? Because they're so good this year. Well, that's a lot of the starters are leaving. And now
you get that big drop off.
You're going to have a big drop off. So, yeah, I think the Panthers got the best of it. I think the Panthers got a guy that they're going to be able to. He is young as crap. He's so young. I don't understand this. I've talked about this with Josh Rosen. I feel the same way with Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Josh Rosen is a good quarterback. He's only been in the league for going on 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Going on four. This will be his fourth year coming up. I think Darnold's the same way too, right? I think this is going on his fourth year.
Yeah. He's got a fifth year next year. They're talking about
So he's going into his fifth year option, and they're picking it up. Yeah. My thought is, why do you think Darnold is bad when we see what the team looks like? We all talk about the team. Oh, the Jets suck. You think that's just the quarterback's fault? There's cases where the quarterback can be a huge blame. I get that. But for the most part, the Jets are historically bad under a lot of different quarterbacks. Even Brett Favre, who tried to will them in, you know, tried to actually make them a winning team, and they still couldn't do it. Sam Darnold's a good quarterback. I hate that for other people that really think that Sam Darnold's a bad quarterback. They want to make fun of him. They say he's stupid looking, all this different stuff. Like, yeah, he's very meme-y. I get that. But he is a good quarterback. And the Panthers, look what he's walking into now. He's getting Robbie Anderson back, who Robbie Anderson, we knew was an okay wide receiver when he was at the Jets.
Yeah,
the Panthers.
Yeah.
Now, so we were talking about, he was a lead wide receiver for almost majority of the season. Mm-hmm. Then he's got DJ Moore, who was a monster, an underappreciated monster, showed up finally near the end of the season. He's also got Christian McCaffrey behind him, who is arguably the best running back in the game. Just for all around, there is no bad side to Sam Darnold in the situation that we've even seen him play with talent yet. You see play. Ryan Tannehill is just a tremendous example here in Nashville for everybody. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill in Miami was not Ryan Tannehill here in Nashville. Why? Because he came into A.J. Brown, he came into Derrick Henry, he came into Corey Davis, came into Jonnu Smith. All these targets that we're talking about are huge names now that are getting – Davis obviously gone, Smith obviously gone, both got absolutely paid mm-hmm. in this offseason. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown will eventually get paid mm-hmm. once his rookie deal's done. Henry, not getting paid enough in my mind. But it's not fair to say Sam Darnold's bad. Tell me one wide receiver. Give me one wide receiver he played with. You have to think about it. You have to legit.
I mean, I got one, Jameson Crowder, but I mean, he's.
That's it.
But he was never healthy.
He was never healthy.
Yeah. I mean.
And also, yeah, he was good in the sense that, like, he catched the ball.
Yeah.
But he would have 14 receptions for, like, 48 yards. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you were in PPR, it all worked out.
Yeah.
It all worked out for you. But it's just his talent pool was not that great. It was almost at the bottom. So I'm not on this boat that Sam Darnold's a bad quarterback. I'm more on the boat of we have not seen him have a chance of potential yet.
I agree.
So
yeah, because the thing is with me,
I don't even know how we got onto that.
Yeah, because I believe that Sam Darnold got the best of the deal, regardless of the teams. Who got the worst of the deal? Who's ever going to be drafted second by the Jets? Because he's going into the exact same situation that Darnold did. What have they done to improve offensively?
Nothing too dramatic. And the thing that goes with that is, you know, Salah's going to have, they got to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm a huge fan of his as well, but it's just.
Maybe they can't figure out, maybe it's a different team, but you look at how the Patriots are gunning up, the Bills are already up there. The Dolphins are already there. They were one game out of the playoffs last year. Like even if they are making climbs, are they making climbs enough comparatively to the rest of their division? I don't think so.
So you see Smith getting a head coaching job with Atlanta after 2 years of being the offensive coordinator. If Joe Brady turns around Sam Darnold's career, is he a head coach candidate next year?
Say that question again. I didn't understand it.
So Arthur Smith, he came after being offensive coordinator for the Titans for 2 years,
right.
Landed the head coaching gig in Atlanta. If Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator on Carolina, if he turns around Sam Darnold's career, is he a head coach candidate next year?
Yeah, 100%.
100%, right?
And that's just really what it is. Not that I think that they deserve it, but it's just the iron gets hot so quick. Because I thought it was kind of crazy for Art Smith to leave as soon as he did. Like, you're building something, you mm-hmm. know, and then you leave, and it's like you want to go build your own thing. And I understand a little bit more. You know, I've talked, like I brought up with Plaz and Watson Brown, and then we kind of all talked about it, and they kind of shed more light on it for me, and the idea that, like, you know, you only have one chance to make that money and be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get no chance, and so when you get that chance, go for it, and you take it. So, yeah, I think Brady probably will. If they turn around and they're winning and you see Darnold play well and the team play well, then, yeah, 100%. 100% he's going to be a coach because you're bringing in the money, man. If you're doing it, that's what they want. You know, that's and the coach, they'll sign anybody if it's like, oh, well, he looks like a winner, we gotta try him, and they'll give you 3 years, you'll make the money, and then you'll be gone if you don't do it. So not that I think it's the smartest thing, but You know, I get the idea of you may only have that one chance in your life to be a head coach. So you got to seize it. What else you got?
So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Every day, 12 things appear in your backyard. All right. And they're random. And it's basically, you know, pretty much every letter in the alphabet. What's the first letter you choose? Does that make sense?
No.
No?
That actually, all right. I can say this, Ray. 100% that doesn't make any sense.
Hold on. Let me go back because I found it over here. Hold on. I got to
talk about what, stuff in the backyard, and then you asked us about the alphabet. Well,
this is like, this is the 45-year-old like soccer mom Karen on Facebook. Like, I'm going to put out a fun post. You know, like, and they're going to, and then you read it and you're like, what the hell is this lady talking about?
I'm going to switch it up.
Stick with it. I can't find it. Be a man. No. We lean into that question. What was the question you were trying to do? I want to understand it. I'm going to get there with you, Ray. We can do it together.
Well, I got to... It's like...
You got to look through your Facebook posts?
No, not my Facebook post. No, it's definitely not my Facebook post. It's basically a question I asked, you know, when we were hanging out someplace. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
And basically, it's like 12 random things appear in your backyard.
Right.
Okay? And it's, you know, and it's basically the first letter of every alphabet. It's like A to Z. So whatever letter you choose in that alphabet... Items that begin with that first letter appear randomly.
So, like,
in your backyard.
If I'm like A and I would think apple or something like that, then it'd be.
But it could be anything.
It
could be an airplane. It could be an automobile.
Okay, so M, $1 million. No, well, B, $1 billion, right? Is that fair?
Or it could be bagels. So you
it could be bagels.
Yeah. So it's like, what letter are you choosing?
You know, some days, Ray, your questions, great. This one, I'm not going to lie, this is subpar.
All right, then I'll go somewhere else.
But this is fine, though. This is a growing thing, right? You can't, like today, it's all rainy and gloomy. We got to have these days because then you don't appreciate the sunny days. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have the good and the bad. So it's okay. We needed this. We're here now. And it's okay. But we're here now. And, you know, now this next question will be really good. We'll be like, all right. And then we have fun with it. And then there you go.
Did you get that off the clouds mixtape? Because that's definitely where that came from.
What is that?
Appreciating the
sun. What's the clouds?
The NF album.
Oh, no. I did not get it from your favorite rapper's album. No, I did not.
It is on that album. I was like, dang, he listened to it.
No, that is probably a saying from way before.
I mean, definitely, but.
You gotta have the good and the bad. That's just all the way of life, you know? So let's go with a good question now.
Okay. So would you rather.
That was mean. Was I being too mean?
No, we can have an open conversation. No, we can definitely have.
Call in 615-844-5600 if you thought I was mean.
Would you rather have all dogs try to attack you when they see you or all birds try to attack you when they see you?
Oh, 100% birds.
Birds?
See, this is a good one. Now we're on the train. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm kind of scared of birds. Like, what kind of birds are we talking about?
Birds. Just any birds.
Like, from a dove to, like, a buzzard. Like, if I got a buzzard flying at
any
me.
Any aggressive
like,
bird.
You can a golden hawk.
Yeah.
A golden falcon coming after you.
I'd rather go with
a
dog. Look,
or you can get a puppy coming after you.
I can get on top of a van and, like, a dog can't get to me, but a bird can get to me anywhere.
Until you get in your house.
I was going to say, you can get inside. Have you ever tried that?
That movie?
Birds. The Alfred Hitchcock movie. Birds have the power of flight, right? And man marvels at birds because we want to fly and we create giant machines that put us in the air. So we kind of already have this like disdain against birds. So I already hate birds. They're tiny. They're fragile. That's what helps them fly, you know? Dogs... Like a bunch of dogs, like, yeah, you can jump up. Like, are we talking about like, where's the setting that we're at? I'm getting attacked by dogs in an open field? Then I'm really not liking
it's
that.
It's whenever they see you. It could be open
just
field.
Just on site.
You could be walking on the sidewalk.
I feel like that's now for me. I feel like my wife takes me to an animal shelter, and I walk in, and instantly every dog is looking at me, barking like I just hit them in the face. I feel that now. So I'm not afraid of birds. I don't even care what kind of bird. Maybe if I can get around your talons, you know, weave and grab, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to...
All of a sudden, he's Neo from The Matrix.
Yeah. Like, but a dog, you know, they're blunt. They don't want to, like, you know, they just run at you and they're and all the teeth and everything. I don't want a dog messing with me. You know, little dogs scare me more than big dogs. Isn't that weird?
I can see that. I'm like that too
a
little bit.
You can run a little dog across the room.
You can, but man, there's something about the, like, it's just like they catch you by surprise. You're just like, oh, look at this tiny dog. He's like, and he's like, oh, God. You know? A big dog, I already have that like thought of like, okay, this dog could mess me up if he tried. But a little dog's like, I'm not worried about it. And then he starts and you're just like, ah, you know. Then you realize.
They creep on you.
Yeah, they creep up on you. So birds, they have the power of flight, but I'm not worried about it. Like, I'm going to. Like, if I get a weapon or something, I'm like, a tennis racket. I just hit one of them one time.
Picks
like,
up a stick.
Like, well, that's what's going to happen is I'm going to make an example out of the first bird. I'm going to do some real messed up stuff to this bird to make sure that the other birds know that I'm not the guy to mess with on this. You know, I'm going to make that example. I can't do that to a dog, though.
Yeah.
They can fight back a little bit. Once I get a hold of that bird, game over. All right? That bird is out. it's there. You know what I mean? Like, it's done. That bird's not coming back. Don't get in my... But a dog, you know, it's going to wiggle. It's going to have a chance to fight. Bird's done. It is out.
I can see Zach like trying to do like a standoff after he knocks that one bird down. Like, yeah, what?
Like, it's gonna be like Liam Neeson in The Gray, man. I'm taping the glass bottles on my in between. It's just all right. Let's go. Oh, okay. What else? Is that it?
That was it.
That was a good one. See,
nice rebound.
We ended on the high notes. Nice rebound. That's what we do, Ray. That's what we do.
That was my first choice.
Hey, by the way, Spamris called me in the middle of the show. Is that anything more annoying than these stupid automated numbers coming up and calling
you? Do you ever answer those?
Sometimes. But what happens is I'll answer it. Like, the times that I don't answer it, it's actually like somebody that's like calling me. I just don't have their number saved, so they pop up Spamris.
Or text, a spam text.
Oh, congratulations, you won an Amazon thing. Who believes that?
Yeah, and I reply back, I'm like, God, is that you? Is that you? Like, is that you? Like, and they never reply back.
Well, I never send those texts, man. I can't. I hate it. All right, man. Let's go ahead and hit our last break of the show, and then we'll wrap things up and send it off to Vandy Baseball at 145 going up against the Dogs of Georgia. Back after this right here on MSM.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide 2 enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
What in the hell's an internet? Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the app store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's an unfortunate one. I know where we're going here. DMX, unfortunately passing. That's tough. That's tough, man. What's your favorite DMX song?
That was it.
That was it? That was your favorite DMX? Yep. Yeah. That was tough, man. 50 years old. You think about it, though. It's short. What would you rather have? A long life with not much that you did, or someone like DMX, who, you know, this guy, you talk about a full life this guy lived. This guy, mm-hmm. he was homeless at one point, a millionaire at one point. He was in prison at one point. He was performing in front of 500,000 people at one point. Like, that guy lived a life. Yeah. Like, it's a short time, but, like, he lived probably three lifetimes more than what the average person lived.
Still gone too soon, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 50's way, way, way. That's so young stuff.
I feel like it's always going to be too soon.
Yeah, it always is. It always really is, man. All right, well, that was a sad way to end the show, but, you know, RIP DMX, and, you know. Everybody else, though, have a great week. That'll end it for us. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat station. Bobby, good job today. Ray, good job today. Thank you for commenting, listening, calling in, everything you do. Remember, if no one's told you, I love you. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on Nashville Sports Radio.